Welcome to Kingdom City Church's prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. Enjoy today's message.
Say this scene. I really want you to get this in your spirit. And I hope that through me continually teaching this over and over and over again, that it will finally register in your heart that we are in the world, but we are not what?
Of the world.
All right. And I really want you to understand that. Let it register in your heart. Let it get deep. Became a part of a completely different kingdom.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Give me 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Look at what the word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation.
Amen.
Oh, look at somebody say, he's talking about me.
He's talking about me.
Amen. That you're chosen. Many are called, but few are what?
Chosen.
A lot of times you always wonder what's the difference between called and the chosen. The truth of the matter is the called individual, if I call a whole bunch of people up to a stage, that's the calling. But then if when the people come up to the front, I pick out each individual, that is the group that I chose out of the call.
Right.
That's good.
Okay. So all of us have been called because of what Jesus did at Calvary. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all would come to repent. Everybody got called when Jesus made it on that cross. Everybody got called. But after the calling, he chose some people. Oh, give me Ephesians chapter 1.
All right.
Hallelujah. Give me Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start around about verse 3. Ephesians 1 and 3 say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where?
In
Christ, verse 4, according as he have what?
Chosen.
Come on, read your Bible. According as he has what?
Chosen
us in him before the what?
Foundation of the world.
That's right. So before you came to him, he had already chose you. I told somebody the other day, the truth of the matter is, hallelujah, you were saved in eternity. It just manifested in the year you came to the altar.
Come on.
Y'all didn't get what I just said. I said you were saved in eternity, but it manifested in 83, 87, 91, 96. You were saved a long time ago, but one day it manifested. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
All right. You are a chosen generation. Lay hands on yourself again. Say, I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
1 Peter 2 and 9 says not only are you a chosen generation, but it says you are a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
Come on, give me Revelation chapter 1. Give me and priests. Unto God and his Father. Lay hands on yourself and say, I'm royal.
I'm royal.
Come on, don't be scared to say that. Say that with authority. Say, I'm royal.
I'm royal.
Amen. How many people in here believe you're royal? Amen. How many people know you are a king's kid?
Yes.
Amen. That you are a king. That's why he's the king of kings.
Yes.
And that you are Lord. That's why he's the Lord of lords. Because you are king and whatever you speak comes to pass.
Yes.
Proverbs 18:21 say death and life is in the power of your what? Tongue. That's right. Look at somebody say there's power when I talk. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. He says you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. But then he said, I don't want to leave you there. He said you're a holy nation. And I know sometimes when we talk about holy, we think of long dresses and you understand, we think of long dresses and no makeup and no this. But the only thing holy means is set aside. Amen. That's all it means. It means you consecrated yourself. Amen. And because I'm consecrated, everybody can't touch me. Amen. Because I'm consecrated, I don't mingle with everybody. Don't hang with everybody. Don't fool with everybody. Say, I am holy. That's right. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, and I'm peculiar.
Yeah.
Amen. Folk ought to call you strange.
Yeah.
Amen. You're strange. You're weird. You're different. All right. As a matter of fact, if you ain't strange, you don't belong to him. Because when Jesus comes in, you change. You're different. But then he said that you should show forth the praise of him who called you out.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you've been called out of darkness into his what? Marvelous life. So I want you to understand that we're in the world. We're not of the world. Jesus had a conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus and told him, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born what? Again. And that word born again does not mean born again. Literally, it means born from above. It means that you got to become kingdom. That while Trump is their president, Jesus is yours. I know y'all don't want to hear that. I know you don't want to hear that. So that's the power of prayer. That's the power of our intercession. We are a chosen generation and we're born from above. We're part of a different government. And if we are part of a different government, and if we are part of a different system, and if we are part of a different set of rules, we must understand that we do not get our instructions from this world. We have another constitution, and the constitution, which is what we need to study, which you need to know what the laws of your kingdom is. What are the rules of the kingdom? What are the rules of engagement? How do we war in our kingdom? Because we don't war. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel my help in here. We don't war with rifles and BB guns and shotgun weapons of our warfare. Hallelujah. They are not carnal, but they're mighty threat in the body of Christ. We don't do that. 2 Corinthians 6 say, dare any of you having a matter go stand before an unjust. We don't do that. Y'all quiet in here. We are called according to a different. We bless them that curse us. We do good to them that hate us. We pray for them that, I know it don't feel good, but that's our government. That's how we work. Tell somebody, I'm in a different government. That's how we operate. When I make a decision, I don't make a decision because I feel like making it. I go study my constitution and find out, what do that say about it? Am I making sense? So I talked about, because we are part of a different government, because we are part of a different world, hallelujah, that we are really the new world order.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, that because we have been delivered from the power of sin. Okay. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. And let me help you understand this for all of you religious, Pentecostal, apostolic, holiness, sanctified people. I love you with every, but I want to help you. If you are a sinner, doing good do not make you righteous. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. If you're a sinner and you dot every I, you know, don't mess with nobody, don't drink, don't smoke, don't go to the club, don't dip, cuss, or chew, or hang with them that do. None of that makes you is accepting his righteousness.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Ooh, I know that kills you. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the what?
Righteousness.
All right. So there was an exchange. I gave him my sin, and he gave me his righteousness. Give me Ephesians 4:24. So guess what? Since I gave it to you, put on the new man. Which after God is created in what? Righteousness and what? True holiness. All right. Say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
Now, are you righteous because you do everything right?
No.
What made you righteous? His righteousness, correct? Now, let's slow that down. If nothing I do right make me righteous, why do I think if I do something wrong, it makes me unrighteous? See, now I got to free y'all from religion. Because see, the Holy Ghost spoke to me one time and said, we say that the Holy Ghost convicted us. And a lot of times what we call conviction is really our conscience that has been amplified by religion. I could show you women right now who believe it's a sin for them to put on lipstick. And if they put it on, they'll say, the Holy Ghost convicted me and told me, well, why would the Holy Ghost convict one and not convict the other?
Right. Yes.
Because maybe it's not the Holy Ghost. Our convictions come from our teaching. And if you are taught something is wrong, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. My grandma on my mama's side, bless her heart, Baptist. Baptist born, Baptist bred. When she died, gonna be Baptist dead. I mean Baptist. Now, right now, she cannot walk in a church with pants on. I mean, cannot. Now, the Holy Ghost said, I don't look at the outward appearance.
Yeah.
And what the Bible says. Give me 1 Samuel chapter 16. I think it's 1 Samuel 16, round about verse 7. I think that's what it is. Give me 1 Samuel 16. I think that's what it says. Yes! I'm glad I know my Bible, church. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because just because he looked upon don't mean he right. I still refused him. You can look good on the outside and still be rejected. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the
heart.
Now, Grandma, my God ain't studying her pants. All right? But because she was taught that from a kid, that's in her. And every time she walk in a room, in a church, she gonna feel bad about it. Now, it's not the Holy Ghost. It's her conscience that was amplified by religion. And some of you right now can't even be free because you're bound by religious. Is a worse sin than any other sin. You like to magnify whole chakes and freebase and whiskey nipping, cocaine sipping, pill popping. See, that's what we like to talk about. But God hates self-righteousness. Because at the root of it is pride, and you're trusting in yourself. Romans 10 say, my desire is for all of Israel to be saved. He said, round about verse 2, he said, I bear them record they have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. Get round to verse 3, he said, they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
Don't be scared to say it. Say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
How many people has the church lost because we tried to make folk perfect that was imperfect? How many people have we ran away with our rules and our laws and our regulations and destroyed? Come on, church, talk to me. Am I making sense?
Yes.
So I have divine immunity from the power of sin. I'm part of a different government, all right? I'm free. I am righteous. He imputed it on me. You know, that's a banking term. You understand? The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. God put righteousness on me. Couldn't do. Nothing I can do to get rid of it. You can't wash it off. You can't even sin it off. I wish I could. I don't have time to get in this like I want to. I got a little. I got some. Verse 8. Yeah. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the what? Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not what? Hold on here. That's a problem. Y'all saved?
Your Bible.
Amen. Hello? Anybody saved? Raise your hand if you're saved. Let me see. All right, put your hand down. Let's try it again. You saved. You know you saved. All right, put your hand down. You born again, right?
Yeah.
Put your hand down. I got a question for you. See if you're going to tell the truth. Have you sinned since you've been saved? Have you sinned in the last 7 days? Keep your hand down with your little lying self. Hold on, but that scripture say, whosoever born of God don't sin. Well, something wrong. It's a problem here. Because I know I'm saved.
Amen.
Okay, tell me, you know, let me tell you something. Say whatever you want to say about prophet God. I know I'm saved. I'm quit. You can say I ain't no prophet. You can say I can't preach. You can say I can't sing. Call me crazy. But when you get done, call me saved. I'm saved, y'all. Glory! Hallelujah to God. I'm saved, church.
Glory.
Amen. Look down your row and tell them I'm saved and know I'm saved. Amen. I'm questioning. Listen, y'all. Listen. You know that? You give me a minute. I don't want to get emotional. But see, The Holiness Church had our salvation in the balance. You know, save, loss. Save until you do something wrong. Then you're not saved no more. Then you mess up. You come back. Got to repent real quick. And then, they ain't ready for this. They're not. Can I show y'all something? You save and then you do something wrong. Watch this. They say that the only way you're going to go to heaven is you got to confess it. If you don't confess it, you're not going to be covered.
That's what they told us.
You back in works. I'm going to show you something. You don't know how many sins you did that you never confessed.
Never. Oh, prophet.
So now you are saved. Give me 1 John chapter 1. Give me 1 John chapter 1. Let me show y'all something. 1 John chapter 1. Now I'm going to teach you something else. I need to teach y'all something. Okay. When you study scripture, you got something called exegesis. Exegesis means a scripture cannot mean to you what it did not mean to the people whom it was written to.
That's right.
You understand that? So that means that when I study, I can't just go pick a scripture at the Bible that say, let's say I picked that, Matthew 2:75, say Judas went and hung himself. And then I went to Luke 10:37 and say, go and do thou likewise. And then go to John 13:27 and say, whatever thou doest, do it quickly. Now I've used three scriptures to prove my point, but they were out of context. Somebody shout, context matters. Okay. One way I think I explained the other week that whenever we understand scripture, you got to always keep it in its context, because if not, you do the word of God an injustice. You have to. I can't just go right into a scripture and say, see, look at what it say. No, I got to find out what was going on.
What's going on? Yes, sir.
Let me teach you something. Let me show you something. Go to 2 John 1. I'm going to show you something. Show you something. 2 John 1. You're going to let Pastor Butler, you finna get happy, okay? You look good with that suit on, too.
Thank you, man.
You're a real man. See, you can wear this because you're a real man. Pastor Butler's a real man. You understand? Got that. Pay attention. That's right. Breast cancer awareness. Praise God. Amen. All right. Look. All right. Remember this. Attention to the style of
prayer. Yes.
Okay. Like if somebody, you know, like when you go to court and they have a penmanship expert.
Right.
Because they're trying to say that person didn't write that letter, because when I studied their handwriting, they don't write like that.
Right.
Okay. Or if somebody was to fake a letter saying that you wrote something. Somebody could listen to that letter and say, you ain't write that. That don't even sound like you. You don't talk like that normally, so you surely ain't gonna talk like that on paper. Okay. All right, so pay attention to John. Look at what John does in his writing. 2 Peter 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. He addresses it to somebody. Go to 3 John 1. Third John, the elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Every time he's writing a letter to someone in the church, he acknowledges who he's writing to.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But go to 1 John 1. There's no address.
No.
To no one in the church. Because he's not writing to the church.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going here for
thank
a reason.
You. Thank you.
What's happening here is a teaching has come into the church called Gnosticism. He's addressing Gnostics. I'm going, I hope I ain't going over y'all head. But he's addressing Gnostics. Gnostics is a people who did not believe that Jesus came in the flesh, and they did not believe in the existence of sin.
Wow.
You got the context now.
Yeah.
Who he writing to?
Gnostics.
Who he writing to?
Gnostics.
They don't believe that Jesus came in the
flesh
or in the existence of which we have
seen
with our eyes, which we have
looked upon,
and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 2. Come on, come on. For the life was manifested, and we have
seen it.
Remember now, they don't believe he came in the flesh.
Wow.
But John is telling them, we seen him.
Yes.
We bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest. Good God from on high, I'm about to get happy. Verse 3. I'm about to get happy, Pastor Butler. That which we have
seen
and
heard,
declare we unto you, that ye also may have
fellowship
with
us.
Hold on. We seen it because we want you
all right
to have fellowship with us. Now, if it was Christians he was talking to, he wouldn't be telling them to have fellowship because they already got it.
Right.
And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4.
Teach
them. I got to take my time and go through. These things I write unto you that your joy may be what?
Full.
Verse 5. This then is the message which we heard of him, declared unto you, that God is what?
Light.
In him is no what?
Darkness.
Verse 6. Come on, come on, come on. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what?
Light.
And do not the? But if we walk in the?
Light.
As he is in the?
Light.
We have?
Fellowship.
One with?
Another.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all?
Sin.
Watch this. They don't believe in the existence of sin. So he's talking to Gnostics. He is not talking to believers. He's talking to sinners, telling them, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. And the truth ain't in you. But then he gets to verse 9 and say, if we confess, all he's doing is giving them the formula for salvation. He's not talking to believers. He's talking to sinners. He doesn't talk to believers until he gets to the second chapter. Look at chapter. He gets to them and starts addressing them and says to them, chapter 2. He says to them in chapter 2. Look at what he said. Glory to God. He's talking to the church. Now, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now he's talking to the church.
Yes.
Notice what he says this time. My little children.
Yes.
Y'all missed it.
Come on, prophet.
1 John 1, I'm not talking to the church. I'm talking to Gnostics. That's why I don't even address them. But then 1 John 2, my little children, these things I write unto you, sin not. But look at what he say believers can do. But if you do sin, I didn't tell you to confess. You already got an advocate. Glory. Hallelujah to God. Glory. Hallelujah. Got an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Come on, come on, come on. Next verse. And he is the propitiation for our sin. Not for ours only, but for the sins of the what?
That's revelation from
heaven. You gotta hear me. Be free today from your religion. You got that? You've been delivered from that. Give me Ephesians 1 round back verse 13. There it is. In whom ye also trusted. Oh, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye what?
Believe.
Ye were sealed.
Thank you, Jesus.
You was what?
Sealed.
Y'all don't be scared to say it. You was what?
Sealed.
When you look up that word sealed in the Greek, it's the same as when you put, you know, like when you put meat inside of a freezer bag, and then they got them things that get all the air out of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Or like you get a mason jar and put seal. All right, when you seal it, it means it can't be penetrated. My spirit man has been sealed. And because it's been sealed, even when I sin, it cannot penetrate to my spirit. It can only affect my soul and my body.
Bust that religion down.
That's good preaching. Go back to 1 John 3 and 9. The Bible says he that is born of God don't commit sin.
Yeah.
Now, some people say, well, that means you don't practice sin. Well, then we got to have a question. What's practicing? Once a month? Once a year? 3 times a week? What makes it practice? Let's go deeper. Well, that means practicing, okay? What sins you going to talk about? Because, see, we only seem to think they're sins of having sex, drinking, smoking, gambling, lying. Not when we don't pray. We don't treat people right. Not the sins we commit in our mind that don't know about nobody. Not the speeding down the highway. I really be in hell, brother. Come on now, come on, come on. We be in trouble. If your salvation, watch this. If your salvation is hanging on till you confess it every time you do wrong, you'll never make it.
Thank you for listening to the Prophetic Radio Broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. We invite you to join us at a Kingdom City church near you. Come worship with us at KCC Jacks in Jacksonville, Florida, every Sunday at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. and Thursdays and Fridays at 7 p.m. at 2104 North Main Street, Jacksonville, Florida, or at KCC Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more information on our services, text the word Kingdom City, which is all one word, to the number 228-28. That's Kingdom City to 228-28. Or call 1-833-522-5433. You can also visit us online at kccharlotte.org, kccjacks.org, or briankarn.com for more information and to sow a seed into the ministry. More grace, we're excited about your future.